for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a 2019 annual ladies' conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, February the 16th, 2019. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on things you need to know about your tongue.
Well, praise the Lord. This message is things you need to know about your tongue and mine.
Amen.
Praise God. Years ago, I read a book called Hung by the Tongue. Anybody read that book? I don't know. So long ago. Too much water under the bridge for me. Too many things have happened in my life every day. Hung by the tongue. How many of you know that we have been hung by our tongue? Amen? And this is some things you need to know about your tongue and that I need to know about my tongue. The scripture says, righteous lips are the delight of kings. Amen? And we need to speak God's word because God's word doesn't return void. Right? So, Father, we just come before your throne in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, that my words be like goads, like well-driven nails given by you, Lord, the shepherd. Lord, we pray that today you will give us revelation knowledge about our tongues, that you'll set a watch over our mouths. Father, that our tongues will not lag and speak evil, that you show us how to cleanse our hearts so that our tongue will be under control. Help us guard our lips, Lord. Father, I ask you to cover us with the blood of Jesus, put a wall of fire, a hedge of protection, and your warring angels around us. Lord, cause the eyes of our hearts to be enlightened. Lord, you said you sent your word to heal us. We pray that signs and wonders will accompany the teaching of your word. We bind Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. We forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us. And this is coming to my mind, but did you know that another word for Satan is wormwood, bitterness? And so in the Song of Solomon, the king tells the bride, he said, your mouth is so sweet. So whenever bitterness comes out of our mouth, it's the mouth of the harlot. The Bible says the harlot, which is, we know a physical prostitute, we know what she's like, but a spiritual harlot or a spiritual prostitute is someone that has prayed the prayer to receive Jesus and then our heart goes after other lovers. And it says that the harlot, she wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong. And so righteous lips are the delight of kings. And so when bitterness comes out of our mouth, we're being a mouthpiece for the devil. We're either in a mouthpiece for the Lord or a mouthpiece for the devil. And so we need to speak God's word because God's word will not return void without accomplishing the matter for which he sends it. And I can tell you that the devil watches over his word. God watches over his word. The Bible says the angels in Psalms 103 watch over God's word to perform it. Well, the devil watches over his word to perform it. And his word is any word that is contrary to the word of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they obey me and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger. The voice of a stranger is the voice of another, meaning a demon power. We're either letting God speak through us or a demon is speaking through us. And so if we speak blessings on people and bless people, then the grace of God is extended to that person to carry out what we bless. If we curse people, then it draws demons to that person to carry out what we've cursed and what we've said. And, you know, we destroy each other, we destroy ourselves, we destroy our mates, we destroy our marriages, we destroy our kids by the words we speak. How many people call their kid, you little devil, instead of speaking encouraging words over the child. They speak words that bind that child, set on fire the course of his life. And so the benefits of speaking God's word is that God's word will not return void. You know, there's been an experiment with rice, and this is in a book by Bill Gothard. They took cooked rice and they put it in two different jars, and they put it on a shelf in the same distance and the same temperature. And every day for, I think, 17 days or 27 days, I forgot, this person took this one jar of rice and he blessed it, said, "Oh, you're delicious, you're savory, you taste so good, you're wonderful, you're healthy, blah, blah, blah." And the other jar of rice, he said, "You're nasty, you're rotten, you're no good," and spoke negative to it. And after 17 or 27 days, the rice that he cursed was black and moldy. The rice he blessed was still clean and fresh. That also, I've heard of another experiment where they took molecules of water, and they take a drop of water, and they took a glass of water, and they spoke loving words over it. They had a glass of water. They spoke negative words. "I hate you. You're detestable." Had another jar of water, a glass of water, that they spoke kind of a melodious music to. And they had another glass of water they put under the influence of heavy rock music. Then he took out a drop of that water and he froze it. And the one where he spoke love to was this beautiful crystals. The one that was negatively spoken over, it was all mangled. The one they spoke melodious music over was beautiful crystal. And the one with rock music, it was just demonic looking. And so, if our body is 70% water, and you can change the molecules of water by the words you speak, we need to watch what we say. And so, hopefully, you know, we've heard messages on the tongue our whole life. And most of these things I'm sharing, you probably already heard, but I'm praying that it gets deep down into my heart. I mean, right now I've had kind of a cough and a sinus infection. Thank God I haven't been sick. But it's a discipline because of running off at the mouth. And, you know, the Bible says that there's a stricter judgment on a teacher. You might get by with stuff that I don't get by with, or anybody that teaches. And so, thank God for his discipline. The Bible says whoever loves discipline loves his own soul, because, see, God loves us so much that he disciplines us because he loves us and he wants the best for us. And so this has made me more aware. When I get this, I'm saying, "Okay, God, what all I do?" And, oh my goodness, I get all this information about these crooked politicians, and then I repeat it. And so how much of it's true and how much it isn't true, you know what I'm saying? You don't really know. So God convicted me of that. Plus, you know, sometimes we roar through our mouth and our nostrils. The Bible says that Leviathan, flame fire, goes out of his mouth. Well, one of the roots of sinus infection is your words, because you're either speaking the breath of the Almighty, have the Almighty in your breath, or you've got the breath of the devil speaking through you. One of the two. Anyway, I receive God's discipline, and I'm praying for the grace and mercy to watch my step. You know, we're living in a day where you're being cursed constantly. The chemtrails that are going across the sky is putting all kinds of stuff in the atmosphere, and you're a target. And so, but a curse without a cause cannot lie. So you've got to find out you're giving it ground by the things you speak. And we're living in days where they're actually, the enemy's trying to kill all of us. The scripture says, "The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy." But Jesus said, "But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And so we're living in days that we better watch our step. Because if we don't watch our step, we open ourselves up to all kinds of stuff. Praise God. God says, "If a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." Now, some of you have heard that scripture, but let me tell you, it's true. It's more true than this building you're in. If our ways please the Lord, it makes even our enemies to be at peace with us. Well, that is a tremendous verse living in the days we're living in. But when we're speaking words that don't line up with the Word of God, God is not pleased. And so when we speak words contrary to the Word of God, it produces death, and we're being a mouthpiece for the devil. And our tongues are the bodily instrument whereby we speak death or life. We bless or we curse. It's no in between. You're either blessing people or cursing them. You're speaking life or death, no in between. We set on fire the course of our life with our mouths. I can tell you one way the course of my life was set on fire, and I learned this when my youngest granddaughter was born. She weighed 10 pounds, and I was standing at the, we were looking at her through the glass, and people said, oh, she's so chubby, she's so fat, and I was going, I'm going to break that curse in the name of Jesus. But anyway, it made me realize I weighed 11 pounds when I was born. So I can imagine what they said about me, and my whole life has been dealing with weight my whole entire life. Until recently, and I'm not promoting Weight Watchers. I mean, God, it has to be a discipline of the Lord. It has to be the grace of the Lord. But I joined Weight Watchers, and it's been amazing. Because then there's 200 foods that count nothing. Like white chicken breast, turkey breast, fish, shrimp, eggs. All vegetables count nothing. All fruits count nothing. Let's see. Corn counts nothing. I mean, it's amazing. You never get hungry. This is the first time I've ever been on a diet where I don't get hungry. If you get hungry, go eat some turkey or something. Eat all you want, right? Anyway, it sounds like I'm promoting Weight Watchers, but it's too easy. It's almost fun. And I've been on every diet, counting calories backwards, forwards, carbs, counting protein. I mean, you name it. I've been on all of them. So if you want to lose weight and you need a little extra help, I recommend you join Weight Watchers. Okay, that's just a little commercial, and I didn't get nothing for saying that. But, you know, it's helped me, so I want to say things that help. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with using Weight Watchers. It's a healthy way to eat. I went on it about 4 or 5 years ago, and it took me 3 or 4 years to gain the weight back. And it's a healthy way to eat. Other diets you get on, they're not healthy. You get off of them, and you gain it back just like that. So it's a healthy way to eat. And it's a discipline, and it's good. Makes you feel good. So with our tongues, we set on fire the course of our life, and my life was set on fire by the course of my life. The scripture says that liars go straight from birth. You know, sometimes, you know, my youngest son, he lied to me his whole life. And, you know, I was so ignorant, I didn't know about cursing with the mouth. And I'd say, that kid is the biggest liar I've ever seen. Well, guess what? He was. And I've asked him to forgive me. And, you know, we can't talk to the dead. God forbids it. But we can talk to God to talk to him. And it takes a lot of grief. If you're carrying grief in your heart towards someone that you love that's dead, or someone that you've done wrong and you didn't get a chance to tell them you were sorry, ask God to tell them you're sorry and ask God to forgive you. And it's tremendous healing when you do that. So a lot of times I'll say, Lord, would you tell my mother to please forgive me for being a brat? Would you please forgive my dad? Tell my son to please forgive me? And so I didn't realize it, but I set on fire the course of my son's life, my second son. My first son, I wanted a son, and he's a tremendous blessing to my life. He's my pastor. He's a godly man, and he's the joy of my life. He's just about the sweetest, most gentle man, kind man, and I just appreciate him so much. But my second son, I set on fire the course of his life. I wanted a girl when he was in the womb. I don't remember ever saying it, but his daddy was a junior college All-American football player. And so he said to my, when I was pregnant, he said, well, if it's a boy, he'll probably be a sissy. And I remember that when they told me I had a boy, my heart sank. And 2 weeks, when he was 2 weeks old, my aunt said, "He's just too pretty to be a little boy." And I was bathing him one day, and I said, I spoke over him, "You'll just have to be my little girl." And see, that set on fire the course of his life. I mean, he had demons of homosexuality because his uncle was a homosexual, and he had cousins that were homosexuals, and it was in his bloodline. But he told me a month before he died, he said, "Mom, I've always felt like I was a girl." You see, things like that can drive you crazy if you don't take it to the cross and ask God to forgive you and ask God to ask him to forgive you. Anyway, I set on fire the course of his life because of ignorance. I didn't know anything about curses and blessings. In fact, I wasn't even a Christian when he was... I'm not sure I was even a Christian. I was a Christian, but I didn't know any... I mean, I still don't know too much, but I knew nothing. Anyway, we do so many things out of ignorance. And so with our tongues, we either wound or make people sick, or we heal them. We make ourselves and others sick by our mouth. We destroy our mates, our marriages. The way people talk to each other that are married, it's terrible. It's no wonder marriages don't last. There's no cherishing, no appreciating, no loving. And so, praise God, through Christianity and through the Lord, God redeems those lost opportunities. And we either devour or make whole with our mouths. We make a joyful noise in gratitude to God for all he's done, or we moan, groan, and complain. That's something else I've been noticing about myself lately, is complaining. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I hope I can find it here. I'm going to read it. I'm going to have to go back to my Bible program here if I can find it. It says, I do not want you, and it, 1 Corinthians 10:1, for I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, speaking to Christians, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And it's speaking of the children of Israel who were fathers and ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual... Jumped to 10. Somebody read that to me because I can't. 1 Corinthians 10. Alma, will you read that to me? In the New American Standard, if you... Who has the New American Standard? Anybody? Okay, read it out of whatever. First Corinthians chapter 10.
Start at
1, yes.
Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized
under... Do it louder.
All were baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness.
No, wait a minute. Our wilderness is our circumstances, right? Okay.
Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
Go ahead.
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall.
Now that's speaking to brethren. It's talking about grumbling in the wilderness, talking about idolatry. you know, where most of us would not, I don't think anybody in here would bow down to a Buddha or to Kali or to Diana or to Apollos or to any, or to Zeus or any false god. We'd never think of that. But our false gods are, you've got to love me, you've got to listen to me. Wherever we have a button pusher, you got to, you got to, you got to. You got to support me, you got to protect me. You got to love me, you got to value me. You got to appreciate me, you've got to, I expect you to love my false god as much as I love it. Amen? And that's why we get angry. We get angry when we don't get what we want. We have fear if we don't have it. We fear we won't get it. And if we have it, we fear we'll lose it. We get depressed. All of those things are idolatry. And then it says, when we grumble in the wilderness, God sent the serpents. Now, some of you might not believe in demons, but the serpent is a demon. And so God sends the demons. In fact, the scripture says that God inhabits our praises. And if he inhabits our praises, who do you think inhabits our moans and groans? Psalms 50 says, whoso offers praise glorifies me, and whoever orders his conversation aright, I will show him my salvation. So we have to order our words that our conversation is right so God can show us his salvation. Now, the opposite of that is destruction. We can bring other people into bondage or we can set them free with our mouths. Sometimes one word can encourage somebody and they're totally set free by one word of encouragement. Years ago I read this, and I don't think it was a Christian article, but it says praise to people is like sunshine and rain to flowers. Isn't that true? What would that be in our marriages or in our relationships if we would... you know, flattery is if I just say, I just love your dress when I think it's ugly. Or the scripture says to flatter somebody is laying a net for their feet. Years ago, I was in a meeting and this girl sang, and it was the worst song I have ever heard in my life. I was thinking, oh, that girl can't sing. Anyway, the people behind me ran up and said, oh, that was just wonderful. They were friends of hers. That song was wonderful. And what they should have said, I appreciate you sharing. You know, thank you for sharing. But to go on about something that was obviously totally off key, that's flattery. And the scripture says flattering someone is laying a net for their feet. It's a trap. And so we can bring people into bondage or we can set them free. But you know what? When you see a good quality in somebody, compliment them on that quality. Because That encourages them. You know, years ago, I'm thinking of this girl. I was talking to her one day, and I said, you know, I've never felt feminine because I always kind of favored my daddy. I was kind of a tomboy growing up. And she said, that's just silly. You're one of the most feminine people I've ever met. And I went, oh, yeah, I am. And that changed my life. And so just one word of encouragement. And try to be a person that brings out the good qualities in other people. Proverbs says, the mouth of the upright will deliver them. We can bite and devour ourselves and other people. I used to have a ministry farm, and I tell you, I planted 90-foot fruit trees, and somebody gave us a vacuum cleaner for the ministry. Somebody that lived out on the farm vacuumed up the dirt and burned it up. Another person, I spent probably $1,000 on a drip system so that all the fruit trees would be watered. They mowed over the drip system and destroyed it. And I'm telling you, just something like that. When you take in people that are cursed, everything they touch is cursed. I bought new spreads and new lamps for the beds, for the trailers, for the girls and for the guys. And it didn't take 3 months when they had just about destroyed everything in there. And I wanted to say, stupid! But I didn't. But what eating people up with words, you can actually bite and devour people with words. And that's modern day cannibalism. Now you think, well, that's just off the wall. Well, Galatians, I think it's Galatians 5 that says, brethren, see to it you don't bite and devour one another, lest you consume one another. You can eat people up with words. You can eat yourself up with words. A little later I'll read a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says that the words of a wise man, I can't quote it, but the words of a fool consume him. So we can eat ourselves up with words. And when I discovered that one day, I started spitting people out. And honestly, my weight stayed the same, but I went down a couple of dress sizes. You can actually eat people up with words. So we can bind and devour ourselves and others. Psalms 52:4 says, you love all words that devour, which to eat up. Oh, deceitful tongue. We can express sweetness or bitterness with our mouth, hatred or love, kindness or hate. We can condemn or affirm ourselves and others. We can express love or hate. We can speak truth or we can lie. We can be transparent and we can be deceived. We can deceive others. Some other things about your tongue is your tongue can be like a sharp razor. Psalms 52:2 says, your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, a worker of deceit. There's other words that says our words can be like sword, like a sword. Wicked speaking can be a cause of a person having to have their tongue cut out. You've heard stories of people who had a diseased tongue and had to have it cut out. Well, here's one of the spiritual roots to that. Proverbs 10:31 says, the mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. Your tongue will either lacerate or soothe. Proverbs 12:18 says, there's one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs also says, kind words are like honey, enjoyable and helpful. If kind words are helpful, how about unkind words are unhelpful? You'll be established forever if you speak the truth always. And you know, when you speak the truth, you never have to worry about what you said last. But if you're a person that don't tell the truth, you have to constantly be coming up with what I say last. Proverbs 12:19 says, truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. Don't you love Proverbs?
Amen.
My favorite book of the Bible is Proverbs. I love it all, but I love Proverbs. Your tongue can be soothing or perverted. I think I've already read that. Proverbs 15:4 says, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. How many of us and how many of your children have a crushed spirit because you crush them with words? Lying about your needs to attain wealth causes it to evaporate. You know, you can open a bottle of fingernail polish remover, and if you leave it open, it'll be gone within, I don't know how long it takes, but it'll evaporate. And the scripture says if you lie to gain wealth or to manipulate people so they'll give you wealth or they'll give you money, it evaporates. And there's a scripture to back it up. Proverbs 21:6 says, the acquisition of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. And that can be also one of the roots to poverty. If you go on my website, jerrymcgee.com, all lowercase, there's a message on there. I think it's 42 reasons for financial problems, and that's one of them that's on there. And I encourage you to go through. There's even a message you can listen to free. I've even taught it here at Leigh Hamilton on the reasons for financial problems. And it really came out of, I was really having a struggle one year. And so I know the answers to everything's in God's Word. So I pulled up all the scriptures on wealth, riches, money, all the scriptures that I could find. And just did a word study. And it made a difference in my life. Not that there's not a struggle. I think we all have struggles. but the spirit of poverty, the things that was causing me to be cursed, is gone. Guarding your mouth and your tongue will guard your soul from troubles, the Bible says. Proverbs 21:23 says, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Are you having troubles? Do you think you're being tongued by your own tongue? Soft words are more inclined to be persuasive than harsh words. Proverbs 25:15 says, by forbearance a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bone. Speaking lying words reveals your hatred for the person you're lying to. Did you know that? If you lie to someone, it really means that you hate them. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. And the person who corrects in love, in the end, is more favored than the one who flatters. You know, it's hard to tell the truth. Sometimes people don't want to hear it. They get mad at you. They reject you. They may not want to never speak to you again. But God will favor you in the end if you speak the truth in love, because you love that person. I used to just kind of stuff it. And I know that you can't believe I used to stuff things, but I used to stuff it. And then it would be like, then I'd nail a board over my mouth. And then I'd have a button pusher, and all of a sudden the board would go flying, and you say things you don't really mean. It's coming out of a wounded heart. And you need to quickly repent. But it says in Proverbs 28:23, he who rebukes a man will afterwards find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. And God's the one we're wanting to favor us. You're not going to be favored by people. Your mouth will either reveal Jesus speaking through you or a demon speaking through you. Job 26:4 says, to whom have you uttered words, and whose spirit was being expressed through you? That's a question that Job asked, and that's a question we need to ask ourselves. Whose spirit is being expressed through us? And when I say us, I'm talking about me. This message especially is for me. Wicked words aim to kill, but a wise tongue sets people free. Proverbs 12:6 says, the words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Right speaking will satisfy your soul. Proverbs 12:14. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words, and the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. So speaking the right words satisfies your soul. Feeding people the wrong thing can be a cause of breast cancer. There was a man that I prayed for years ago that had a tumor in his breast about the size of an egg. And he would go into a bar and put a little Panama hat on and a little coat, and he would let everybody think he was a detective or something. He wanted love and acceptance so much that he would feed people lies. And that was the root. Because the breast has to do with, it has to do with feeding. And so what you're feeding people, you feeding them lies, can be a cause of breast cancer. Another cause of breast cancer is mother not breastfeeding you. That's another cause of breast cancer. And then the woman marries a man who won't nurture her. You know, that's a picture of nurturing. What happens is a woman will marry a man who is not a nurturer in a lot of cases. And then she's bitter toward the man because he didn't nurture her. But it really goes back to being bitter toward the mother because she didn't breastfeed. Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for the lack of understanding. You snare yourself and other people by your words. Proverbs 12:13 says, an evil man will be ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will escape from trouble. And you say, well, I'm a born-again Christian. I'm not evil. But let me tell you, we do evil things. In fact, in Matthew 18, where Jesus gives the parable of the Lord who had two servants, And he was speaking to Peter, and when he was telling this parable, and he said, "You wicked slave, you shouldn't have forgiven. I forgave you all that debt, and you didn't forgive, so when we don't forgive, it's evil." You can preserve your life with your words, the words you speak. The one, Proverbs 13:3 says, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his mouth comes to ruin. And there's another scripture in Proverbs, I've ran two together, so I don't know the reference, but it says, the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise protect them. Years ago, I had a crick in my back when I was pastoring a church, and people were praying for me, and I kept thinking, well, the crick's going to work out. And so the church, they anointed me with oil, and they prayed for me. Well, the crick was still there. You know, if somebody prays for you for healing and the little voice says you're not healed, you're not, because there's some spiritual root to it. And so I kept thinking, well, it's going to work out, and it didn't. So I was getting ready to preach that Sunday, so I got on the computer and pulled up. There's 300 scriptures on the back. On the back. And I started repenting over all the scriptures on the back. And when I got to this one, the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back, but that one clicked. The scriptures also says, he who lacks understanding, it's a rod for his back. And so I repented over all 300 scriptures. And then I was dressing, I heard, "You're healed." And I went, my spirit man went, "Yes." And I still had a crick in my back. I couldn't doubt it. I was healed. By the time I got to church, it was totally gone. And it was because the root was my words, the words that I spoke. And so think before you speak. Proverbs 16:23 says, the heart of the wise instructs his mouth. In other words, I instruct my mouth is what I'm going to say. And he adds persuasiveness to his lips. Your lips are the snare of your soul. Proverbs 18:7 says, a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Could you think that maybe some of the things you're going through is because of your mouth? I can. And what you say can affect your appetite. How about, I'm starving to death. I'm so hungry. I could eat a horse or whatever. You ever say anything like that? Proverbs 18:20 says, with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Think that could have anything to do with weight gain or eating people up. You want a kiss from God? Proverbs 24:26 says, he, God, kisses the lips of him who gives a right answer. So give right answers and he'll kiss your lips. That's what it says.
What proverb is that?
That's Proverbs 24:26. And you can eat yourself up with words, and we've already shared that. Ecclesiastes 10:2 says, the words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, while the lips of a fool consume him. You can be eaten up. You can eat yourself up with your own words. James 3:1 says, let not many of you be teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such will incur a stricter judgment. We all stumble in many ways. If one does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships. Although they are great and are driven by strong winds, are directed by a very small rudder, whatever the inclination of the pilot desires. And also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest can be set aflame by such a fire, small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of our life. And it's set on fire by hell itself. In other words, those words come right out of hell. James 2:7. For every species of beast and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in the image of God. From the same mouth go blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be this way. Does a fountain send forth in our mouths a fountain from the opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives? Or can a vine produce figs? Or can salt water produce fresh? In other words, what's coming out of your mouth is either good or bad. Can't be in between. And then James tells us what the wisdom from above is. He says, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness of wisdom. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't be arrogant and lie against the truth. This wisdom, having bitter and jealousy and selfish ambition, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it is earthly, natural, and demonic. Now, this is written in the Bible. When we have jealousy and selfish ambition, it is earthly, natural, and demonic. And so from these verses in James, I'm just going to tell you what I get out of it, and you may get more out of it, that there's a stricter judgment on teachers. And it says, if you don't stumble in what you say, you're a perfect man. And the reason is, in Matthew 12, it says that, by your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. Why is that? It says, for every idle word that men will utter, they'll have to give an account of on the day of judgment. For by your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. Why am I condemned by my words? Because my words are revealing my true heart. Is that right? And so if my true heart is speaking negative, and that's what's really coming out of my heart, that condemns me because it's revealing that my heart is corrupt. Right? Okay, and if we don't stumble in what we say, we can bridle our whole body. So I have a body. There's a body of Christ. My family's a body. So if I don't stumble in what I say, I can control my body, right? And then in James it says that you can put a bit in a horse's mouth, and we can bridle a horse's mouth to make him obey. And it's the same with us. If you could put a bit and bridle in our mouth, you could control us, but we can't do that with us. It says that huge ships are directed by a small rudder, whichever way the pilot is inclined to go. And so, and he's likening me in this verse, you and I are ships. And the rudder on our ship that guides our ship through life is our tongue. So if we don't like the direction that our ship is going, we better control our tongue, because our rudder is what's directing the ship. Is that right? And so here's James is likening our tongue to a rudder on a ship. And we're the ship, and we direct the ship of our life by controlling our tongue. And then it says, your tongue is a small member, and it boasts of great things. Your tongue is a fire, and though a very small member, can set a forest afire. Now, if we're trees, there's a forest in here, right? By my mouth, we could defile everybody with a root of bitterness. We could burn this forest down in here. It says, your tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. Your tongue defiles your whole body. Defile means to contaminate, to sully. We talked about a root of bitterness, how it sullies. Your tongue sets on fire the curse of your life and is set on fire by hell. The human race has tamed animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea, but it cannot tame the tongue. Why can't it tame the tongue? Because the tongue is speaking out of what's in the heart. You get the corruption out of the heart, and guess what? You get the heart purified by listening to what you say. Why'd I say that, Lord? Where'd that come from? Where'd that thought? Also, your thoughts come out of your heart. You can't tame the tongue, but what you can do is you can get the heart purified so the tongue will be pure. Is that right? And so that's how the tongue is tamed, is by us getting a heart purified. And so listen to what you say. Pay attention to what you think, because that's coming out of your heart. And when you have a negative thought about what's coming out, listen, and if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, Lord, how'd that get there? Where'd I get that idea? Where'd that come from? And then take it to the cross and deal with it accordingly. A lot of times things come out of what we've watched on TV or movies we've watched. Right? And we can watch certain things on TV and have Antichrist spirit. Your tongue is a restless evil, and it's full of deadly poison. Your tongue can bless God, the Father, and curse men and women who have been made in the image of God. And from the same mouth, we can bless or curse. Your mouth is a fountain, and a fountain cannot send forth bitter water and sweet water at the same time, nor can it send salt water and fresh at the same time. A fig tree cannot produce olives, or a vine cannot produce figs, nor can salt water produce fresh. And if we're wise in understanding, we will show it by our good behavior in the gentleness of wisdom. We'll repent of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, which is earthly, natural, and demonic. It says, and where these things exist, there's disorder in every demonic thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Matthew 15:10. After Jesus called the crowd to him, he said to them, hear and understand. Is it not what enters into the man that it is not enter, what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds from the mouth, but this defiles the man? You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man out of his good treasure, or out of his spiritual garden, speaks what is good. And the evil man, out of his evil treasure, speaks forth what's evil. And that means what's been stored down in our heart, or our heart is our spiritual garden, or here it's called in your heart your treasure. But I tell you that every careless, this is sobering, it should be, Lord, wake us up, wake me up. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give an account of on the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. 1 Peter 3:10 says, for the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And what about we kid people and we say, well, I was just joking. That's a lie. That's coming right out of your heart. What you say to people, you say, I'm just joking, but it's really not a joke. It's really what you really think down in your heart. And Proverbs 26:18 says, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. Now, I don't know what a firebrand, an arrow, or a death is, but it says, like a man who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor by saying, was I not joking? So don't say, I'm just joking, because you really weren't.
What's the reference on that?
And that's Proverbs 26:19. And so what happens when we curse ourselves, or others curse us? Can I tell you that there's witches and Satanists cursing us all the time? The Lord has shown me, because I've shared some things that I don't use doctors and I don't use medication. And I've shared that on worldwide radio. And I'm sure there's been witches and Satanists that have listened and thought, we'll fix her cart. But you know what? They can't do it unless there's a cause. And I'm seeing more and more that I better watch my step.
Amen.
Because this year, I mean, in my whole life, I could probably count the times I've been sick in my whole life. This past year, I haven't been sick, but I've been a constant sinus drainage or something, or some kind of an infected sinus or something this whole year. More than all of my 80 years put together. So I'm seeing more and more God's wanting to refine me some more. And I'm not blaming the witches or the Satanists, because they can only do what God lets them do. But I have to be careful that I haven't been boasting when I said what I said, because the Bible says boasting is looking for trouble. By God's grace and mercy, I haven't been to the doctor in 26 years. By God's grace and mercy. Except to have cataract surgery. And so, what are the consequences of other people cursing you? Are you cursing others? And it's in Psalms 109. And be repenting of this, because I'm not going to go through the whole thing when I lead you in repentance. It says, O God of my praise, do not be silent. For they have opened their wicked and deceitful mouth against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. Now I've done that to others, and others have done that to me. Right? You've done that to others, and others have done that to you. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without cause. And so I've done that to other people. And people have done it to me. In return for my love, they act as my accuser, for I am in prayer. Thus they have paid evil for good and hatred for my love. Have you ever done that to anybody? And here's the consequences. Appoint a wicked man over him. And that's a demon, in case you don't believe in demons. Appoint a wicked man over him and let an accuser. Now the scripture says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, right? And an accuser, let it stand at his right hand. I've actually cast demons out of somebody that had an accuser standing at their right hand, day and night accusing them of something. And you might have that accuser standing on your right hand, accusing you.
Jerry, what was that reference?
That's Psalms 109, the whole chapter. When he's judged, let him come forth guilty, and let his prayer become sin. Okay, that may be why you never feel forgiven. When he's judged, let him come forth guilty. You always feel guilty? Let his days be few and another take his office. In other words, you get displaced, or whoever's doing this to you gets displaced. It goes two ways. We're not squeaky clean. I mean, we're guilty too. Randy said this is true, and this is true. The more you grow in the Lord, the more you realize what a mess you are. When I first got saved, because I was a, quote, good girl, I thought I did God a favor. And now I'm thinking, oh, dear God, why did you ever save me? Mercy. God, I need mercy. Do you need mercy?
Yeah.
It said, let his children, and this is Psalm 109:9, let his children be fatherless. And his wife a widow. You see the judgment? Let his children wander about and beg, and let them seek sustenance far from their ruined homes. There you see divorce. Devastation in the home. Let the creditor seize all that he has, and strangers plunder the product of his labor. Now, the voice of a stranger is a type and shadow of a demon. And let strangers plunder the product of his labor. Let there be none to extend loving kindness to him, nor anyone be gracious to his fatherless children. Let his posterity, that's the children in further generations, in other words, and future generations be cut off. Let his posterity or his children be cut off. In a following generation, let their name be blotted out. Now, this is for people that curse us and for us who curse others, so we need to repent. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and do not let the sin of his mother be blotted out. So you can see why a person maybe never feel forgiven. There's a precious man that goes to our church, and he can't believe that he could be saved. He was kicked out, never had a home, abandoned by everybody in his life. And the Lord showed me this the other day. He's probably under this curse because I've prayed with him. Other people have prayed with him. He still does not have assurance of his salvation. Psalms 109:15 says, "Let them be before the Lord. Let these curses be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off their memory from the earth." The Bible says the memory of the righteous is blessed. Proverbs 109:16, "Because he did not remember to show loving kindness, but persecuted the afflicted and the needy man and despondent of heart to put him to death." And that's taking advantage of an afflicted, needy person. "He also loved cursing, so it came to him." You know what? Our flesh nature loves to curse. Did you have... But the memory of... that's Psalms 109:15. "Let them be before the Lord." Let me back up here. It says, "Let the iniquity of their fathers be remembered before the Lord, and do not let the sin of their mother be blotted out. Let them, the sin and the iniquity, be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off their memory from the earth." Psalms 109:16. "Because," this is the reason, "because he did not remember to show loving kindness, but persecuted the afflicted and needy man and despondent of heart to put him to death. He also loved cursing, so it came to him, and he did not delight in blessing, so it was far from him. But he clothed himself with cursing as with a garment," so that's something that comes over him, and it, cursing, "entered into his body like water, and oil into his bones," bitterness. And that's one of the causes of arthritis and pain. Psalms 109:19. "Let it be to him as a garment with which he covers himself, and as a belt with which he constantly girds himself." That could be one of the roots to back problems, having a garment of cursing and a belt of cursing. "Let this be the reward of my accusers from the Lord, and of those who speak evil against my soul." So that's that applies to those who spoke evil of us, and it applies to us for speaking evil of others. "But you, O Lord God, deal kindly with your namesake, because your loving kindness is good. Deliver me, for I'm afflicted and needy, and my heart is wounded within." So you see, by all these scriptures, that you and I have a problem, right? We have a big problem, a tongue problem, hung by the tongue. And so if your tongue is a restless evil and full of deadly poison, and we can't tame it, what's the solution? The solution is going back, getting the heart purified, and then the words will be purified. Does that make sense? Lord, I ask you to seal that in our hearts, in Jesus' name. I pray for the grace, the mercy, the grace to listen to what we say, take our thoughts captive in the way we take them. You know, we listen to what you say and pay attention to what you think, because God tells us to take those thoughts captive. And you can't take your thoughts captive until you get your heart pure, because your thoughts are coming also out of your heart, out of your treasury. And your treasury is everything that's been stored in your heart generationally, things that have happened to you, things you've done, how you were trained up. There's a storehouse there, and I'm telling you, it's a lifelong process of getting sanctified. God tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, and it's a process of little by little, and we're all a work in progress, every one of us. And so start dealing with what you say, with what you hear, and it's like peeling an onion, taking layer off at a time. until God totally delivers us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, stand up and let's ask the Lord to show you what you need to repent of. And this message was for me and you. You know, one good thing if you're married is to run into your prayer closet before you say it and say, okay, God, where did that come from? Okay? Because we beat each other down. We destroy each other. We destroy the men in our life. We destroy the women in our life. And that's just a Jezebel spirit. So, Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me for having a devouring mouth. Search my heart, O God. Don't fold your arms because that means you're resisting. Lord, search my heart. Test my thoughts. Let me know the truth, Lord, that sets me free. Why do I think the things I think? And Lord, why do I say the things I say? And I can tell you the things you say go back to those bitter judgments. Those areas of your life where you were not trained up according to God's word. And you let the sun go down on your anger, turn to a false god, and then with that false god, you're speaking what's down there in your heart. In Jesus' name. And so just deal with whatever the Lord shows you, and then sit down when you're through, and we'll do deliverance. Just sit down when you're through. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me that my lips have not been righteous. I have defiled myself and many. Forgive me for not speaking the word of God over my children, over my mate, because, Lord, you said your word will not return void. Forgive me for being a mouthpiece for the devil. Forgive me for cursing instead of blessing. Forgive me for speaking death instead of life. God, forgive me for cursing others and not blessing others. Forgive me for setting on fire the course of my children's life and my life. Forgive me for wounding, making people sick with my mouth, devouring people. Lord, forgive me for not making a joyful noise in gladness. Forgive me for moaning and groaning, complaining. Forgive me for discouraging people. Forgive me for bringing people into bondage with my mouth. Forgive me for not having an upright mouth. Forgive me for biting and devouring others, eating myself and others up. God, forgive me for speaking words that devour. Forgive me for having a bitter mouth instead of a sweet mouth. Forgive me for cursing, using profanity, condemning others. Lord, forgive me for not expressing love. Forgive me for expressing hate. Forgive me for not speaking the truth. Forgive me that my mouth and tongue has been like a sharp razor, like a sword. Forgive me for wicked speaking. God, forgive me that my mouth has not flown with wisdom. Forgive me for having a perverted tongue that would be cut out. God, forgive me for lacerating people with my tongue. Forgive me for destroying my husband. Forgive me for destroying my children. Forgive me for destroying my marriage. Forgive me for speaking rashly like the thrust of a sword. Forgive me for not speaking kind words that are like honey. Forgive me for not speaking the truth so that I can be established forever. Forgive me for not having a soothing tongue. Forgive me for crushing the spirit of my children and my spouse. And Lord, I forgive my mother and father for crushing my spirit. Forgive me for lying about my needs and manipulating people for money, which has caused what I have to evaporate. Forgive me for not guarding my mouth. Forgive me for not speaking soft words. Forgive me for harsh words. Forgive me for speaking lying words, crushing others. Forgive me for being afraid to speak the truth in love and to correct in love because I want people to accept me and love me. Forgive me for not being willing to rebuke who I need to rebuke in love because I fear man more than I fear you. God, forgive me for not guarding my mouth, which has caused me to want to eat all the time. Forgive me for not preserving my life. Forgive me for speaking wicked words that kill rather than destroy. Forgive me for lying in wait for blood. Forgive me for not righteous speaking righteously. Forgive me for feeding people the wrong thing. Forgive me for flattering people with my lips. Forgive me for snaring myself and others with words. Forgive me, Lord, for speaking words and not speaking words that preserve my life. Forgive me for not thinking before I speak. Forgive me for not taking my thoughts captive. Forgive me that my mouth has been my ruin and I've been hung by the tongue. I forgive my parents for the words they spoke over me. I break every one of them if they didn't line up with the Word of God. God, forgive me for speaking words that have caused my stomach not to be satisfied. Lord, I ask that I give a right answer so that you'll kiss me. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for eating myself up, being a fool. God, forgive me for not speaking words of wisdom. Forgive me for not blessing. Forgive me, Lord, that I haven't liked the way my ship's going, but I haven't controlled the rudder of my tongue. Lord, forgive me for having bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Forgive me for being arrogant and lying against the truth. Forgive me for stumbling in what I say. Forgive me for not being a perfect man and perfect woman. Set a watch over my mouth, O God. Forgive me for burning down a forest with my mouth, setting fire the course of my life, the course of my marriage, the course of my children's life. I forgive my parents for setting on fire the course of my life. I break the power of their words over me when I was born, when I was in the womb. And Father, I ask you from this day forward, pray with me, from this day forward, Lord, I ask you to cause me to listen to what I say and take account of what I think and find out from you, Lord, how it got there so I can take my thoughts captive and so that my tongue can be tamed. Forgive me for not being a fountain of life. Forgive me for bitter jealousy, selfish ambition. Forgive me for speaking impure words. Forgive me for not speaking peaceful words. Forgive me for not speaking gentle words. Forgive me for not being merciful. Forgive me for wavering. Forgive me for being a hypocrite. Forgive me for not sowing seeds of righteousness, seeds of peace. And Lord, remind me from this day forward to chain my tongue. I have to purify my heart. And you are the purifier of my heart. I take all the things you show me to the cross, put it under the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I break the judgments that I've spoken on my parents, that they've spoken over me. I break the power of the words I've spoken over my children, over my husband. I break the power of the words that my husband has spoken over me, my boss has spoken over me, my parents have spoken over me. I break the power of those words in Jesus' name. I pull out all those arrows in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus to redeem lost opportunities. In the name of Jesus, I break soul ties with mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife, brother, sister. I cut and sever every cord of control, linking their souls, their human souls to my soul. I send back their souls and human spirits back to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ in Jesus' name. Call back my soul and human spirit back from them. Exchange their image for the image of Christ in Jesus' name. Now every demonic spirit has to leave in Jesus' name. I break the power of every demon that's come in through words spoken over us, through words we've spoken. Forgive us for cursing others. Forgive us for loving cursing, which has gone down in our body like water and oil in our bones and covered us with a garment of cursing and a belt of cursing. I take off the belt of cursing, the garments of cursing. The spirits of defilement, I command you to go. Lord, I ask you to cleanse every person in this room by the blood of Jesus. Now, every demon that came in through everything they've confessed, go now in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. All spirits of fear has to go. Witchcraft, rebellion, antichrist, you have to go. Hatred, profanity, taking God's name in vain. Come out now in Jesus' name. All spirits of cruel words, harsh words, mean words, devouring words, come out now in Jesus' name. Spit out everybody you've devoured with your mouth in the name of Jesus. We spit everybody out that we've cursed in Jesus' name. Come out now in the name of Jesus. We break your power in the name of Jesus. And I command every demon to spit them out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, go in Jesus' name. Praise you, God. Rebellion, you have to leave. Witchcraft, you have to go. Mind control, you have to go. In Jesus' name, hatred, variance, strife, emulation, go. Bitterness, broken heart, hurt, wounded spirits, idolatry, come out now in Jesus' name. I break your power. Moodiness, I heal their wounded spirit, their button pushers in Jesus' name. Every spirit that causes them to lose God's perspective, come out now in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Come out now in the name of Jesus. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Spirits of the witch, come out. Spirits of Jezebel, come out. In Jesus' name, we break your power. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. I command the angels of God to drag you out. And purify their hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, I ask you to purify their hearts from all defilement by the blood of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Just take a deep breath and blow out in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And you know, this is a way to live, okay? You may or may not experience great deliverance today, but this is the truth that will set you free if you practice this in Jesus' name. It's another principle of how to live an overcoming life for myself and for y'all in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night. In the house of the Lord, lift up your hands in the holy place. Come bless the Lord. Come bless the Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. In Jesus' name, the spirit of wormwood has to come out. Spirit of bitterness has to come out. Spirit of hurt has to come out now in Jesus' name. Come out now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And Lord, we lift the food up before your throne. We thank you for Rick. We thank you for Patty. Lord, we just thank you for so much for every person that's here. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord. We love you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, our fortress, our God in whom we take refuge, our shield and the horn of our salvation. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for the food. We ask you to bless it and purify it and sanctify it in Jesus' name. Bless the hands that prepared it in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.